President Michel Aoun leaves the presidential palace at the end of his term amid continued uncertainty over his successor. And South Korea is reeling from a Halloween stampede that has killed more than 150 people, injuring dozens more in Seoul. Thanks for joining us. Israeli forces have reportedly killed another Palestinian, claiming that he carried out a car ramming operation near Jericho in the occupied West Bank. Israeli media have identified the man as 49-year-old Barkat Odeh from Eastern Al-Quds. Israeli police say the driver first ran over some soldiers near a village and then plowed into a bus stop, injuring some others. Reports say that he injured five people. The incident comes amid mounting tensions across the occupied West Bank. On Friday, Palestinians shot dead at least one Israeli settler and injured four others in the city of Al-Khalil. Palestinians say that the attacks are in retaliation for Israeli occupation and aggression. Earlier, our Ramallah correspondent Mona Kandil gave us more details on the alleged car ramming operation near Jericho.
The Israeli military claimed that they have shot and killed a Palestinian man, 49 years old Palestinian man, Barakat Musa Oudi from Al-Azari city near Al-Quds. They said that they shot and killed him, but then they said that he was seriously wounded. We can't tell if that he was killed or not, because at the end of the day, the Israeli forces took him, whether his body or took him with them. The Palestinian Ministry of Health didn't confirm his death or he was seriously wounded. Anyway, as you have said, a Palestinian man carried out a ramming attack occurred in two different junctions south of Jericho, also known as Ariha. According to Israeli military, this Palestinian driver first rammed into a number of Israeli soldiers who were waiting at the Nabi Musa junction, and then continued with his vehicle towards other soldiers, other area nearby area, standing at the Al-Mag intersection where he had a bus stop. We are speaking about five Israeli soldiers were wounded.
Lebanese President Michel Aoun leaves the presidential palace one day before his term officially ends, and amid a stalemate over who will succeed him. Aoun delivered a farewell speech to a large crowd of his supporters who had gathered at the Babda Palace east of Beirut. He talked about the recent agreement with Israel to demarcate Lebanon's maritime borders. He said the deal secured the nation's access to its natural resources, adding that the future revenues should be used to repair the Lebanese economy. Aoun took office in 2016. Parliament has so far failed to agree on his successor during four recent voting sessions. Lebanon has also been without a prime minister for over a month. A presidential vacuum could deepen the political crisis in Lebanon, which is already struggling against one of the worst economic meltdowns in the world. Sandos Al-Assad is a Lebanese journalist and human rights advocate. Earlier we asked her if there is any way out of the current crisis in Lebanon.
Crisis is the unity of all the Lebanese together, and they work in order to stop the foreign intervention in the Lebanese affairs. You know that what's going on in Lebanon is a systemic war led by the West powers, and in addition to the role of the vicious role of the Persian Gulf regimes, that they are intervening in Lebanon's affair. President Michel Aoun has been able, I believe that he is the president who has been able to save Lebanon from various hazardous crises, especially these efforts to drive Lebanon into sedition. The president has been able to stress the role of the resistance in saving Lebanon, and the role of the importance of the Lebanese being united all together, the army, the resistance, the people, in order to face this rampant corruption in all the institutions in Lebanon that have been. Happening for decades because of the role of the warlords, especially those who are politicians who are engaged with the Western powers, with the U.S. embassy and other Western powers.
South Korea's president declares a period of national mourning after a Halloween crush in the capital Seoul left more than 150 people dead. Yoon Suk-yeol says the incident is a tragedy and a disaster in the heart of Seoul that should have never happened. At least 20 foreigners are among the fatalities. They include nationals of Iran, China, and Norway. The toll is expected to rise. Scores of people have also been injured, some of them critically. Stampede took place as South Koreans marked their first Halloween in 3 years after the government lifted mask-wearing and social distancing COVID restrictions. Hundreds of revelers packed into an already crowded alley. People at the top of the sloped alley fell over, resulting in the rush. Most of the dead are women in their 20s. Iranians continue to mourn the victims of a recent terrorist attack on the southern city of Shiraz. Earlier today, the city of Shiraz, crowds of people gathered in a big procession to bid farewell to six of the victims. A similar procession has been held in the nearby city of Yasuj, the hometown of two other victims. Similarly, on Saturday, thousands of mourners took part in a funeral in the northeastern city of Mashhad. On Wednesday, a gunman went on a rampage in a shrine in Shiraz, killing 13 worshippers, including women and children. Over two dozen others have been wounded. The assailant was injured by security forces and later died of his wounds in the hospital. The Daesh terrorist group has claimed responsibility. Iranian officials have pledged to bring those responsible to justice. The UN has held a two-day meeting on counterterrorism in India. The purpose was to help bring more information on how terrorists operate and to prevent terrorist acts from occurring. There was no mention of Iran, though, which has been a victim of terrorism. And ironically, the U.S. now wants to hold a UN meeting on Iran over the recent riots occurring in the country.
The special meeting has been held by the UN, titled UN Security Council Counterterrorism. The focus was on technology and the rapid rise in digitization, the use of new and emerging technologies to counter terrorism. In the meeting, the UN cited the important roles that victims and their networks can play in countering terrorism, and to pay tribute to India and how it was a terrorism victim back in 2008.
Excellencies, distinguished guests, ladies and gentlemen, let me extend a warm welcome to all of you in Mumbai, the financial capital of India, for attending the soft opening of the special meeting of the Counter-Terrorism Committee of the Security Council, as well as the informal briefing on countering the financing of terrorism in national and regional context.
Yet there was one country that was not mentioned, one which has been a victim of terrorism, one which was a victim of a terrorist attack just the day before, namely the Islamic Republic of Iran. The U.S. representative at the UN, Chris Liu, said things like, "Today was a powerful reminder that this is really about people's lives." He also said, "We send our sympathies to the Indian people, we stand in solidarity with them, and we are committed to ensuring that the perpetrators of this horrific attack are brought to justice." But no mention of Iran, especially since it lost 13 lives due to a terrorist attack, or the over 17,000 lives that it lost due to the MKO terrorist cult. Not that Iran was looking for sympathy from the U.S. After all, Iran's top intelligence bodies issued a joint statement just yesterday pointing to the major role of foreign intelligence agencies, especially the CIA, in orchestrating the violent riots in Iran in the past weeks. The announcement said intelligence evidence shows that the CIA had devised an extensive plan with the cooperation of allied spy services and reactionary proxies before the start of the unrest, to initiate a nationwide chaos with the aim of committing crimes against the great Iranian nation. In short, the intelligence ministries said the CIA played the main role while closely cooperating with the spy agencies of the UK, Israel, and Saudi Arabia. This should not come as a surprise, especially since the U.S. has executed color revolutions. In short, exporting wars, launching color revolutions, fomenting extremist ideologies, and promoting economic instability, especially through sanctions, are just some of the actions by the U.S. which has resulted in bloodshed and turmoil around the world. Some of those countries include Cuba, Ukraine, Syria, Iran, and Venezuela. Here is a man who has openly advocated for support for these rioters and who has said that the U.S. has been involved in U.S. regime change operations. Former U.S. National Security Advisor John Bolton.
I disagree with that. As somebody who has helped plan coup d'etat,
yeah,
not here, but, you know, other places, it takes a lot of work. And that's not what he did. It was just stumbling around from one idea to another. Ultimately, he did unleash the rioters at the Capitol. As to that, there's no doubt.
But Iran has been one of the biggest victims of terrorism. Deputy Chief of Iran's Judiciary and head of the country's human rights headquarters, Kazem Gharibabadi, has blamed Western countries for their double standard policies on terrorism and described his nation as the biggest victim of terrorism. He said on the one hand, they accuse Iran of violating human rights, but on the other, they martyr 17,000 innocent Iranian citizens through terrorism or violate the rights of millions of Iranians through the imposition of unilateral sanctions and jeopardize their right to life.
To say that Iran has been a victim of terrorism is an understatement. The MKO terrorist entity has killed over 17,000 Iranians throughout decades. Other incidents involve the twin terrorist attacks on Iran's parliament building and the mausoleum of Imam Khomeini. Just a few days ago, a mass shooting claimed the lives of 13 worshippers at a shrine, yet the U.S. and many Western countries have refused to condemn the terrorist incident altogether.
The U.S. administration and its allies are now looking to convene an informal private meeting of the U.N. Security Council on recent Iranian riots as an attempt to advance their political agenda. Imagine that, the ones committing instability in Iran to then discuss Iran's domestic affairs, among them the recent violent riots. The Iranian reaction has been swift. Iran's permanent mission to the U.N. said, given the hypocrisy and the use of double standards and selective practice of human rights, we regard American claims in support of Iranian women to be deceptive and lacking in good faith. He also stressed that based on reports by Iran's intelligence community, the U.S. itself was the main suspect behind the recent riots in Iran. And to make the situation even more hypocritical, according to a note outlining the events, it said it's the U.S. and Albania which will hold the informal U.N. Security Council gathering to happen on Wednesday. Of all countries, Albania, which has for years hosted anti-Iran terrorists in collusion with the U.S., the MKO, the same terrorist cult which the U.S. named as a terrorist entity once, but then took that label away. Albania does not only host this terrorist cult, but it has turned its country into a hub of interference by the terrorist group and countries hostile to Iran. It enjoys freedom of activity, even after being delisted by the European Union and the U.S. in 2009 and 2012, respectively, of the terrorist label. So it came as no surprise that the MKO terrorist cult was also actively involved in the recent riots in Iran. The findings of Iran's top intelligence body said that 49 MKO terrorists have been arrested. The terrorists were responsible for spreading fake news, instructing rioters to organize acts of terror and destruction, to direct slogans, and to be present on the streets to damage public property. This was in addition to the 77 members of anti-Iran terrorist groups that had also been arrested in the Iraqi Kurdistan region. 5 members of the Takfiri terrorist groups were also arrested in possession of 36 kilograms of explosives that were to be used to carry out bombings and gatherings. The ministry has further announced that 92 people affiliated with the former U.S.-backed Pahlavi regime had been arrested. Added that 9 nationals from Germany, Poland, Italy, France, the Netherlands, and Sweden were also arrested during the riots. Iranian intelligence ministry said a significant number of pistols, various types of machine guns and cartridges, as well as shotguns and ammunition were also seized. So it is quite hypocritical that the U.S. and its European allies impose sanctions on Iran for what they claim is a heavy-handed crackdown on violent protesters, and then move to convene a U.N. session on how to ratchet up further pressure on the Iranian government. Hypocritical also, since the U.S. and these European countries have all been doing the same to their own population, especially the U.S.
Polls open in Brazil for a tight presidential runoff, pitting the far-right incumbent Jair Bolsonaro against the leftist former president Luiz Inácio Lula da Silva. Both candidates sounded confident as they cast their ballots.
We've only had good news in the last few days. God willing, we will be victorious later today. Or even better, Brazil will be victorious later today.
I am convinced that the Brazilian people will vote for a project in which democracy will win, a project in which popular participation in the definition of public policies is a winner, and a project in which we can rescue the people who are hungry in this country, people who are on the streets.
Polls have consistently put Lula ahead of Bolsonaro, but a survey on the eve of the vote indicated that the lead had slightly narrowed. Lula had 52% voter support compared to Bolsonaro's 48%. That meant that the vote is too close to call. The majority of participants thought that Lula outperformed Bolsonaro during the final debate on Friday night. Bolsonaro and his allies have attacked polling firms, accusing them of bias. They say that he outperformed pollsters' expectations in the first round. Lula came on top in the first round with 48% of the vote, 5 percentage points more than Bolsonaro. And that does it for this edition of World News. Bye-bye for now.
We are with you. What about you? Fruitful Moments with IRIB English Radio.
Tell a little about yourself.
I'm Eric Shumanandi from India.
I was born actually in London, England.
I'm a journalist by profession.
I'm 20 years old and I'm a student of physics. My dad, who taught me the art of
writing. Listeners Special.
In the name of God, the compassionate, the merciful. Salam, dear listeners, and warmest greetings to you all. Welcome to this week's edition of Listeners Special on this beautiful Sunday, October 30, 2022. I'm Atefe Erfani, hosting this program today. As you may know, Listeners Special is the Sunday program where your views and attitudes are presented through letters, emails, and messages for our dear listeners around the world and for us. So, please contact us and tell us what you think about our programs. Tell us which program or programs you like the best. Your attitudes and opinions are welcomed warmly. And if you have any message for our listeners around the world, you can record your voice, send it to us, and get your voice heard in this program. Many thanks for being with us. Welcome back. This is Listeners Special, and I do send my warm gratitudes and appreciations to those of our great listeners who have kindly sent us reception reports, including Abdul Alim from India, Rafon Ahmad also from India, and Marson Fritzen from Brazil. And as usual, many of you have taken the trouble of sending us reception reports. As you may know, these reception reports are very helpful for us, especially for IRIB technicians and engineers. You know why? Because these reception reports actually enable us to provide a better service for our listeners around the world. All of you who have sent in a reception report will be receiving an electronic QSL card from us. This is Listeners Special, the Sunday program, your program, dear listeners. And here we've received many emails and letters from around the world, which I mention some of their names here. And later during the program, I will read these great emails. From Brazil, we've received an email from Marson Fritzen, who had sent us a piece of reception report. Ratan Kumar Paul from India, one of our old and regular listeners, has sent us an email. Again, from India, we've received an email from Machi Raju Suba, one of our regular listeners. And from Sweden, we've received an email from Michael Suberg. From the US, we have an email from Nils Lushbrook. Many thanks for being with us. I will be back with these great emails. Welcome back. Marson Fritzen from Brazil has sent us an email. Let's see what Marson says. Hello, I sent the attached reception of IRIB, Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran in Brazil. I am sending you a brief sample of the audio to demonstrate the quality of the signal. I would appreciate a confirmation of my reception report by QSL card to have a memory of your radio station and your country. Thank you. First of all, salam and warm greetings to you from Tehran, the Islamic Republic of Iran, and from IRIB English Radio. Many thanks for sending this email to us, Marson Fritzen from Brazil, and thank you for your support and commitment to IRIB English Radio. We received your brief sample of the audio about the quality, and we'll check it, of course, very soon. Marson Fritzen from Brazil, we're so happy that the signals of IRIB English Radio are received in Brazil and in your region. So please accept our electronic QSL as verification and write to us soon and tell us your views about our programs. Marson, tell us which program or programs you like the best. We're looking forward to hearing from you very soon. And from India, we've received an email from one of our old and regular listeners, from Ratan Kumar Paul. Let's see what Ratan Kumar says. Dear friends, I am a regular listener of your station. I am enjoying your programs and sending a reception report. Please verify my reception report with your printed QSL card and send some promotional items. Salam, Ratan, and warm greetings to you. Many thanks for this email, and thank you very much for your support to IRIB English Radio. We will soon send you an electronic QSL as verification, but I'm afraid sending any material and promotional item on behalf of IRIB English Radio in the time of pandemic is not possible. Sorry for that. These days, in the time of pandemic, we are working just with electronic stuff like EQSL. So please accept it from me. Thank you for your commitment and support, as well as your positive signals to your favorite radio station, IRIB English Radio. We wish you all the best, Ratan Kumar Paul from India. Write to us soon. We are looking forward to hearing from you. And now, dear listeners, after a short break, I will be back with you. Well, as I said, we've received an email from Machi Rajesh Subba from India, one of our regular listeners. Machi Rajesh Subba says, "Dear IRIB English Radio, greetings. I listen to your programs through website. Thank you all for this interesting broadcast. I request you an EQSL on my report. Thank you. Salam and warm greetings to you from Tehran, the Islamic Republic of Iran, and from your favorite radio station, IRIB English Radio. Thank you very much for this email. Of course, my colleagues will soon send you an electronic QSL as verification. We are looking forward to hearing from you very soon. Machi Rajesh Subba from India. And from Sweden, we've received an email from Michael Suberg. Let's see what Michael says. Dear voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran's broadcasting, my name is Michael and I am a DXer from Sweden. I listen to your radio with my own private antenna in the west coast of Sweden. The signal was good. I attach a small MP3 file. It would be great if you could confirm my reception by a QSL card. Thank you in advance. Have a nice day. Salam and warmest greetings to you from Tehran, the Islamic Republic of Iran. Please accept our warm gratitude to you for this email. Thank you for the details. Yes, we received your MP3 files. Thank you for that. We will check it very soon. But for the time being, please accept our EQSL as verification and write to us soon. We wish you all the best. Michael Suberg from Sweden. Welcome back. And Niels Lashbrook from the U.S. has sent us a message, a piece of email. He says, "Hello to all staff. I would love to get a paper QSL if that is possible. Secondly, I would appreciate if you could send a broadcast schedule of some sort to me as well so I can know when to tune in. Best regards, Niels." Salam and greetings to you, Niels Lashbrook from the U.S. And thank you very much for this message. Neil Lashbrook from the U.S., I'm afraid sending any material, including a broadcast schedule or frequency schedule in the time of pandemic, is not possible. So please refer to our website at www.parstoday.com/en. And there you can find our broadcast schedule, the frequency schedule, and all the information, as well as the archive of our programs. But for the time being, please accept our electronic QSL as verification. Niels Lashbrook from the U.S., thank you for this email. We are looking forward to hearing from you very soon. So before wrapping up this edition of Listeners Special, again, I thank all those our dear listeners who have kindly sent us reception reports as well as letters and emails from around the world, including Rafan Ahmad, Marson Fritzen, Abdul Alim, Ratan Kumar Paul, Machi Raju Subha, Michael Suberg, and Niels Lashbrook. Many thanks for being with us. Please be in touch with us. Thank you very much and goodbye.
Dear listeners, your opinion is always important to us. We invite you to spend just a few minutes writing us a letter or sending us an email. We'll be glad to hear from all of our listeners who have any questions or comments about any of our programs. Our postal address is IRIB English Service, PO Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran. You can also send your emails to englishradio@irib.ir. That is one word, englishradio@irib.ir. Please visit our website at www.pasttoday.com/en. Our phone number is 00981-2201-3720. Once again, our phone number is 00981-2201-3720. Our profile is also in Facebook. Our address is www.facebook.com/pasttodayenglish. Thank you all for being with IRIB English Radio.
The first methodology that the Quran uses is to talk to the emotional side of the human being.
Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, O you who believe, ista'inu bis-sabri was-salah.
And we have set forth for mankind in this Quran full of examples.
Minbar, a lecture on Islamic issues.
Islam is a way of life, a complete way. It's a complete way.
Dear audience of IRIB English Radio, now it's time to listen to a short speech by Sayyid Asad Jafari.
Cultivating an Islamic identity has been our ongoing topic. And my entire purpose tonight is to, especially my young guys, is to make all of you understand that what you allow to enter your thoughts, don't underestimate the power that has on you. If we can somehow filter our thoughts, fix our triggers, we can really fix and define who we are. Because this chain tells us, it's funny how a thought becomes an action real quick. Now imagine now you're surrounded by the wrong influence. And every time you're with them, and as you get younger and a little bit older in your late teens, early 20s, sometimes you spend a lot of time with your circle of influence, right? Your friends, your boys, right? Your BFFs, you're always around them, always around them. And they always talk about the same thing, the same thing, the same thing. And those words become thoughts. Those words become thoughts to the point where you'll leave the gathering, but the thoughts will come with you. And those thoughts become action after a while. So imagine now being surrounded by people who are constantly now doubting God, questioning God, talking about the fact that this whole idea of religion is nothing but a sham, doesn't make sense, 2021, it doesn't fit here. After a while, you could come from the most righteous childhood and righteous family, it's going to have an impact on you. When you're watching the television and today's media, and these little small messages, subconscious messages now, right, poking at you, drilling a hole inside of your mind, planting the seed, after a while you begin to actually become inclined towards it. That's why if you look at Imam Sajjad, alayhi salatu wasalam, Allahumma salli ala Muhammad. He's a very beautiful dua. One portion of dua number 55, I believe, of Sahih Sajjadiyah. 45, I'm sorry. Calls out to Allah, O Allah, Ya Dhal Jalali Wal Ikram. He said, bless for me, give me, inda ahsanu bi dhanni bik. Give me the best of dhan, the best of thoughts when it comes to you. It's a very interesting dua. Very, it doesn't say, oh, give me tawfiq to pray, nothing physical. No, first fix the way I think about you. Make it ahsan, make it beautiful. Let me think about you in the most beautiful way. Because another hadith al-Qudsi that really rocks me every single time, Allah Himself says, I become for the servant the way he or she thinks about me. I become nothing but a product of their thoughts. So if all your life, all you've heard about is Allah will squeeze you in the grave, Allah will lash you, Allah will hang you, Allah will punish you, that's all you have in your head, that's how you see God. That's the lens that you see God. So anything that comes from God will have that lens. He says, I am the way you think about me. If you see me as a glorious, beneficent, merciful God, you'll see that mercy everywhere. Even in the most difficult situations, a tragedy, a difficulty, a sakhti, a mushkilat, a hardship, you'll say, Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. Nabi Ayyub is in front of us. So is Bibi Zainab in front of us. So many. But Imam Sajjad is saying, fix the thought of you inside of me. Give me the dhan, give me the thought, the conjecture that's ahsan, that's beautiful inside of me. I want to make sure I think of you properly, God. And I always say this, I wish sometimes we would adopt the Christian church way. The way that they introduce God to their young ones at a very young age is a God of love, a God of love, a God of love. Oh, when you're Christian, everyone loves you. Your neighbor loves you, you love thy neighbor. Jesus loves you, God loves you. And to a certain degree, it's great. Because sometimes, you know, in our culture sometimes, God is a God of fear inside of our homes. And I make this point wherever I go. To my young couples out there, young parents out there who have young kids, you have this clean slate. And you are that connector to God for them. They will understand God the way you present it to them. And God has deserved the right to be presented as a loving, compassionate, merciful God. Sometimes I wonder what we think as parents. That, oh, you know, from when the child is very young, if you don't do this, God will do this to you. If you want God to love you, do this. If you don't want punishment, do this. So God becomes that. The bad cop inside the home. That works for a 5-year-old, a 6-year-old, an 8-year-old. But when that kid grows up to be 15, 16, 19, 20, 21, and you're begging him to pray salats, worship God, serve God, move his mission forward, all he remembers God to be is that bad cop inside the home. Eventually now, they'll rebel. Why should I? You want me to serve this God who wants to squeeze me in my grave? We have to plant that seed that Imam Sajjad talks about, that dhan, that conjecture inside of the minds of our youth, inside of our minds in ourselves, such that that fikr now results in a beautiful a'mal and a beautiful dhat. Now how do we do that? That's my question to all of you. Like I said, the level before the start of the 6-link chain, thought, inclination, action, behavior, disposition, essence. Don't forget these 6. Fikr, mi'il, fi'il, khulq, malika, dhat. Before that, however, is a long list of the triggers of our thought, as I said. 6-link chain, don't forget that. I'm not saying it always goes through 6 links. No, it's possible to get to the fi'il stage and then reverse it. Yes, it's a whole discussion. How to reverse the chain, how to stop it. All those things are a different discussion. I'm talking about the power of thoughts. We can think ourselves out of anything and think ourselves into everything. We really can. If we're convinced of one thing at the mental stage, it can really kind of affect our actions. If we think we're a failure, then we look around and we try to find things that will prove to us that I am a failure. It's in my head. If something happens where I succeed, I think, oh, that was a one and done accident. Really, I'm a failure. Just happens to be that maybe by accident I did this very well. But no, really, you know, I'm a failure. Because in my head now, I have convinced myself I'm a failure. Now, getting out of bed, motivating myself, it all has a physical impact. So when you look at the discussion on the thought inside of worship of Imam Khomeini's Adabu Salat, he refers to the thought as a bird. You ever try to catch a bird on a branch? You see a bird in your backyard on a branch, you want to go and you want to just kind of capture it, or you just want to hold it in your hand. The moment you approach that bird, it's gone. From branch to branch to branch to branch to branch. Trying to capture the bird is very difficult. So they say what? How do you do it? You don't let the bird go to begin with. Imam Khomeini says, this frantic, chaotic state of the bird is just like our thoughts. You ever try to measure back, how did I end up at this thought? I was thinking about something else, I ended up over here. Trace it back, and it goes from here to here to here, branch to branch to branch, and all the thoughts we have in Salat, I tell you. They never appear after Salat, never appear before Salat. The moment Allahu Akbar happens, boom, attack of random thoughts. Imam Khomeini says, grab the bird before Salat. That's why things like wudu are important, adhan, aqama are important. These are all things where now you're training yourself that you're about to enter the mahdhar of Allah, the presence of God. You grab the bird, you know what you're doing, you face the qibla, you take a moment, Allahu Akbar, and you hold on to the bird for as long as you can. Because once it goes, during alhamd, during qul, at ruku, you're trying to get that bird now during salat, and before you know it, your tashahud is done, your salam is done, your salat is done, and like me in the driveway, you have no idea what happened. Power of thoughts. Don't underestimate it. Surround yourself with the right people, your thoughts will begin to purify. That's why hadith says, be around those who remind you of God. Be around those who remind you of God. I'm not saying to sit around in a circle and read tasbih all night. That's not what the hadith means. It means that they purify your thoughts towards good. You want to now serve Allah. فَمَنْ قَسَدَنِي. You want to start that chain. Because when you surround yourself with the right people, they end up being there at the time that you need them to be there.
You're listening to Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. This program entitled Minbar. Our email address is englishradio@irib.ir.
روحي كريم عظيم عليم حالي حكيم متين غفور شكور ودود قيوم رؤوف صبور مجيد اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد يا مؤمنين صل عليه.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. This is the Heart of Life Pounding. IRIB English Radio.
In the limelight.
Former U.S. Vice President Mike Pence has said Americans don't have a right to freedom from religion. The former U.S. Vice President Mike Pence made the remark on Fox Business Channel on Wednesday, 26th of October. We take a look at some of the world media's coverage of this story. Please stay with us. The website, salon.com, has more on this story for us. Former U.S. Vice President Mike Pence claimed during a Wednesday, 26th of October, appearance on Fox Business Channel that the First Amendment to the United States Constitution does not protect Americans from having other people's faith forced upon them. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or abridging the freedom of speech or of the press, or the right of the people peaceably to assemble, and to petition the government for a redress of grievances, it states. In fact, there are no references to a supreme being anywhere in the U.S. Constitution, because the Founding Fathers were adamantly opposed to centralized religious power, as well as requiring individuals to subscribe to any particular denomination. The concept of separation of church and state was sacrosanct to men like President Thomas Jefferson, who wrote in his 1776 Virginia Statute for Religious Freedom that setting up their own opinions and modes of thinking as the only true and infallible, and as such endeavoring to impose them on others, hath established and maintained false religions over the greatest part of the world and through all time, and that to compel a man to furnish contributions to money for the propagation of opinions which he disbelieves and abhors is sinful and tyrannical. Thomas Jefferson's condemnation of false faith in the document was unambiguous, further affirming that no man shall be compelled to frequent or support any religious worship, place, or ministry whatsoever, nor shall be enforced, restrained, molested, or burthened in his body or goods, nor shall otherwise suffer on account of his religious opinions or belief, but that all men shall be free to profess and by argument to maintain their opinions in matters of religion, and that the same shall in no wise diminish, enlarge, or affect their civil capacities. The website of NBC News has more for us on the same story. Former U.S. Vice President Mike Pence said on Wednesday, 26th of October, on Fox Business Channel that the First Amendment to the U.S. Constitution doesn't provide freedom from religion, the idea that people shouldn't have other people's religious beliefs forced on them. Host Larry Kudlow told Mike Pence that far-right progressives will not allow God into the conversation, will not allow religion into the conversation, not just the conversation, the schools, the communities, the workplace. I mean, no one is allowed to talk about the Ten Commandments or the importance of moral values. People are allowed to talk about the Ten Commandments and morality in the United States. How can we have a truly great nation? These lefties want to scrap religion, Mike Pence, and I think it's a terrible mistake, host Larry Kudlow said. Mike Pence waited a bit and then responded by saying, well, the radical left believes that the freedom of religion is the freedom from religion, but it's nothing the American founders ever thought of or generations of American fought to defend. The good news is that after 4 years of the Trump-Pence administration, I'm confident that we have a pro-religious freedom majority on the Supreme Court of the United States. Despite Mike Pence's insistence, the First Amendment comes with two parts. He and Kudlow appear to be familiar with the Free Exercise Clause, which says Congress shall make no law prohibiting the free exercise of religion. But there's also the Establishment Clause, which says that Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion. In other words, the First Amendment gives people both freedom of and freedom from religion. America's founding fathers were opposed to the government forcing religion on people, especially considering the religious oppression and wars that have plagued Europe in the centuries leading up to the writing of the U.S. Constitution. No man shall be compelled to frequent or support any religious worship, place, or ministry whatsoever, nor shall be enforced, restrained, molested, or burthened in his body or goods, nor shall otherwise suffer on account of his religious opinions or belief, but that all men shall be free to profess and by argument to maintain their opinions in matters of religion, and that the same shall in no wise diminish, enlarge, or affect their civil capacities. Thomas Jefferson wrote in the Constitution of Virginia, showing that freedom from religion was definitely something that the Founding Fathers were thinking of. Mike Pence's views on the establishment of a national religion could be of national importance in a few years' time. He has suggested that he's considering a 2024 presidential run, and as he noted in the interview with Larry Kudlow, the president can appoint judges who can rule against freedom from religion.
You have just listened to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily from 1930 to 2030 UTC on the following frequencies. 31 meters, 9,855 kilohertz for Europe, and 31 meters, 9,835 kilohertz for Southern Africa, and FM 91.5 MHz for Tehran. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on Hotbird, Eutelsat 3B, and IranSat or Bat 5, and via the Internet. Our Internet address is parstoday.com/en. And now you can listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program P.O. Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about audio quality and other means. Thank you.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم السلام عليكم ورحمة الله
Selection of Ayatollah Khamenei's viewpoints
همه با وجود غده سرطانی اسرائیل مخالفیم
All of us are opposed to the cancerous tumor Israel
وجه مشترک همه وحدت امت اسلامی
Unity of Islamic Ummah is the aspect that all of Islamic denominations have in common.
Faith based on understanding. Saturday, the 4th of Ramadan, 1394, 21st of September, 1974. The faith of some Muslims is such that in order to keep it safe, they should never open a newspaper, they should never read a book, they should never open their eyes. They should never speak to anyone. They should never leave their home. They should never go outside. Such faith cannot last. The faith that is needed is a faith chosen based on awareness. This is a faith that will endure even in the most difficult and dire of circumstances, barring someone who is compelled whilst his heart is at rest in faith. The Quran, Surah 16, verse 106, which was revealed about the Prophet's companion, Ammar Yasir. The Quran says that if you are being tortured and in order that the enemy leave you alone, you tell them what they want to hear. Your faith is not a faith that can be diverted from its proper direction by persecution. The faith of Khabbab ibn Arat, when they pointed red-hot irons at his throat, is no joke. When they brought those hot irons close to his body and touched them against his skin, his faith was so deep and so strong that even this burning iron couldn't make him surrender it. This faith is based on understanding, based on comprehension, based on thought, based on correct calculations. When we have this faith, it is not necessary to put this faith under a cover or lock it away to keep it safe from the trials and travails of this world, because nothing can harm it in the first place. It is only these unthinking kinds of faith that some people have with which we need to concern ourselves. Unless this happens, or unless that happens, or unless something else happens.
دنیای اسلام یک نسخه امروز دارد و اون اتحاد.
The world of Islam has one single prescription today, and that is unity. This prescription exists in all Islamic countries. Nations should be united.
If we want faith to stand firm, if we want faith not to vanish, and if we want faith to be based on understanding, then we must give knowledge to those people whom we want to be believers. We should not feel threatened by them learning. We should not deprive them of the enjoyment of gaining knowledge. Instead, we must make sure that the right knowledge is available for their hearts and minds, so that on the basis of this knowledge, they can nurture a true and strong belief, so that they will have a concrete foundation for their faith, so that their faith won't vanish when someone takes a shot at it. Islam says that faith must come from understanding. It is precisely this kind of faith that these verses at the end of Surah Ali Imran are describing. Indeed, in the creation of the heavens and the earth and the alternation of night and day, there are signs. The Quran, Surah 3, verse 190.
Allah, I want to thank you. I want to thank you for all the things that you've done. You've done for me through all.
This is IRIB English Radio. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.